you and I have a responsibility to make disciples. That is really the only reason we're still here. Because if it was all about getting saved and going to heaven, and I know people have said, well, don't say it that way, Pastor, but I'm going to say it again. If it was all about just getting saved and going to heaven, the minute we got you up here and got you born again, we'd knock you on the head and just, you know, you can go to heaven. It's not what it's about, though. In a sense, hopefully we take the word of God and knock you on the head, knock some sense into everybody. Put some desire in us to go share the good news with people. To be able to take these things, and he says, besides this, you know what a critical hour we're living in. That's what the Amplified said we looked at last week. All of this is back to chapter 12 about renewing the minds about the church, and chapter 12 about governments, and chapter 13 and walking in love. All of that is in the context of going back and saying, this is why we need to live this way. This is the importance of it. Do this. Not just think about it, but do this. Let me read the Message translation to you again. This is starting in verse 11. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around and dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger. Waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. What should we be wearing? Christ. That anointing. That robe of righteousness. Be up and about. Doing what? Doing exactly what God has instructed us to do. And I love what it says here. Don't lose track of time and doze off. Well, what happens if you're driving and you doze off? Has anybody ever done that? There's times that we've driven some long hours, and that you know your eyes just start to, and you not that you doze off, but you sure feel like you're starting to go. And all of a sudden, car's kind of driving itself. And if you're not careful, guess where you go? Is in the ditch. That's a very dangerous place to go. You're so exhausted, so tired, and so wiped out. And then it says here, you become oblivious to God. Well, you become oblivious to the surroundings. You become oblivious to things going on. And pretty soon, you end up in a ditch. Christians have ended up in the ditch because they've become oblivious to God. They've gotten weary, gotten tired. They've dozed off, in a sense. They've not stayed alert and awake to the things that God is saying and doing. All of this, we have to remind ourselves, was in context to him speaking to the church. He's not speaking to the world. He's speaking to believers. And so when we read these things and we put these things in our context, as the New Living Translation says in verse 12, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living or in quarreling and jealousy. All of these things he's telling us, Christians, do you know and realize what's going on? Can you see what we're supposed to see, that the hour is late? And again, some people might not realize it, but again, if all of these things were saying, being told us almost 2,000 years ago, just think of the context of that. If they were trying to say to us, the hour is late then, if Jesus was saying to the disciples, it's coming soon, and yet here we are, you know, centuries later, how much closer are we really there? But it's easy to forget that. It's easy just to get caught up in things. It's easy to, in a sense, become oblivious to the things of God and just get drowned in our everyday activities. Every one of us has done it. We can do it any single day. It's going to happen to us. How are we going to handle it? The hour is critical. It's high time to wake up, to take action, to live right. It says the night is almost over. The day is at hand. Now, the minute I see that, that tells me something. And I don't think sometimes we realize that. It's saying that we're still living in a place of darkness. If it says that we're living in darkness, that we're, you know, one of the things that I appreciate right now is the fact that days are getting longer. Thank God they're getting longer. I don't know about you, but when you get up in the morning and it's dark and you go to work and you get home from work and it's still dark, it's like you kind of lost the day in there. Where'd it go? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? I mean, you live in darkness, so to speak. And yet, in a world out there, that's where they live all the time, 24/7. And we are living in a world that is bound by darkness. And sometimes we forget that we're the only light that some of those people out there in the world will ever see. We are that shining light. So if the night is almost over, oh, glory to God, the night is almost over. It says that the day is at hand. That tells me the sunrise is coming real soon. Well, what does that mean, the sunrise? I think all of us have been up early enough at some point to see a beautiful sunrise and the sun coming over. One of my most favorite things is to sit up on the North Shore and watch the sun come up on the lake, especially when there's just that little mist, that fog on the lake, and it's just an amazing thing. How can you not be moved by creation and the beauty of all, and all the colors and everything that are involved there? But just think, if that means the sun is rising, I believe Jesus is coming again. I believe Jesus will arise in our lives. I believe Jesus, the light, the true gospel, is going to come on this world, and no one is going to be able to get away with anything. The thing about darkness is, you know, people usually don't do a lot of crimes in the middle of the day. Hello. They do most of the stuff that they try to get away with at night. Isn't it amazing that you always kind of wait till dark for the creepy stuff to happen? Isn't that true? Well, if you turn on the lights, now I've got these automatic lights, they're motion sensor things, and got them around the house so that if someone walks into the backyard, guess what happens? Shine the light on them. Do you think they're going to hang around? Now, the purpose of those lights is for this person to walk in there and go, oh, someone's going to see me. So then what do? They run. They hide. That's the purpose of it. Well, if it's somebody that I want to be there, I want that light to go on so they're not stumbling around in the dark trying to find my back steps or something. I want them to come up and have the full light and that full vision, that full exposure, so they can walk up there and not stumble, not fall. But the person that I don't want there, I want that light to expose that. That's what the gospel does. The night is almost over. The day is at hand. And as one translation says, his return is almost at hand. You know, when you start breaking down these words, I just kind of mentioned over them last week, but in some of the translations, but let me read some of these other ones, because this is what goes on in the darkness. And sometimes we have to realize, if I'm involved in that, that darkness is still trying to overwhelm my life. I may still have part of my life over there in the darkness. You know, right now there's certain shadows and so forth here. There's brighter light right here, less light right there. There's a shadow right there. See, I can kind of walk around and kind of, I'm just going to kind of stand over here a little bit. I can get away with a little bit. I'm in a little bit of light. Well, what's it saying here? Don't participate. Well, you know, King James says, cast off the works of darkness. Another translation says, just don't participate. Don't get involved. Don't be a partaker of. All your different translations say, rioting, carousing, frivolity, wild parties, drunkenness, indulgence, chambering, lewdness, immorality, sexual promiscuity, I love King James, wantonness, lust, sensuality, sleeping around, vulgar or indecent, strife, quarreling, bickering, dissension, discord, envy, jealousy, grabbing everything in sight. That's quite a list. And you start reading through that and say, oh no, I don't have anything to do with any of those things. Well, that's good, because he's saying cast them off, don't participate, don't have anything to do with them. The hour is critical. It's time to wake up and take action and live right and realize that these things are destructive and they're of the kingdom of darkness and we're not in it anymore. So don't have anything to do with it. It's pretty simple. Now, some of these you'd say, well, of course, I'd have nothing to do with, sexual promiscuity or some of the drunkenness, sleeping around, vulgar, indecent. But it's also talking about jealousy and envy and discord. It's all grouped together, the same thing. He's saying they're just as much a part of darkness as any of these other things. Carousing, wild parties. Now, I'm sure some of us can think at certain times in our lives when we went to wild parties. We won't talk about those. But the context, this was written to who? The church. In what city? Rome. What was the culture of Rome during this first century? It was pretty crude. You talk about debauchery. You talk about lewdness, promiscuity, immorality. All these things, those were commonplace. That was a common denominator in the religious idols, in the temples, in the culture. Everything was okay. And then Jesus comes along with this gospel and this new message of saying, no, that's not the way to live. Now, religion obviously wants to come along and say, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, and then you try real hard not to, and the more you try hard not to, you end up doing it all the more, because you just can't do it in the strength of your own flesh. You can't. That's why you have to learn how to say yes to God and no to your flesh. That's why you have to say yes to that light that's working from the inside out and realize that this flesh, this body, says, what does that last phrase say? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Well, that's pretty simple. I mean, this is going to be an obvious example, but a guy who is an alcoholic should not go hang out with his friends at a bar. You're making provision for the flesh when you're sitting there. Pretty soon temptation is so strong you can't help but say, oh, all right, I'll give you just one. And you know what? It never turns out to be just one. I can speak from experience. So either you stop completely or it's going to have a hold over you. And you realize every time I went into that type of lifestyle or did those kind of things, it took me down a path of darkness real quick. And you think, oh, there's nothing wrong with it. Everybody's doing that. It's okay. It's sociably acceptable. But in the church, as a believer, as a person who has put on Christ, then sometimes we have to step back and say, is this the right choice? Is this the decision that is going to be beneficial for me and those who are watching me and those who are around me? Am I going to be helpful to those around me if I'm doing exactly the same thing they're doing or compromising to do the same thing they're doing? Is my life going to actually shine? Is my light going to shine in such a way that it's going to have an impact? It says here, know the time, because now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And if that night is far spent, if the day of the Lord is at hand, then are we living every day with that expectation? Again, I think if we are so oblivious to God because we're caught up with everything, every day, do we get up thinking, today, Jesus could come back today. Wow, Jesus, you know, today could be the day. Am I ready for that? Is that the day? Today could be the day. I don't know if you got to put that on your bathroom mirror, or put it on a refrigerator, put it on the dash of your car, whatever you got. Today could be the day. Are you ready for that? Are you aware of that? Are you even thinking about that? I have to admit, there's a lot of days I go through. I can go day after day after day and then not realize, you know, he could have come today. You ever try to get a hold of someone and they say, no, you know, couldn't get a hold because I got raptured? Huh? Today could be the day. Just let that sink in for a second. Today, what if today was the last day? Really, seriously, what if today was it? What if somehow or another we got a news flash, all of our phones and iPads and everything went off, we get these news flashes, don't you? A text that says something important happened. What if we got one of those on our way home from church tonight? So be ready, tomorrow morning at 7:52, Jesus is coming back. What do you think you'd do those last few hours you'd have here? Do you ever stop and think? I mean, some of us were so caught up with life, we wouldn't even think about, what would I do these last 10 hours? I've only got 10 more hours. You know, people have asked that, well, what if you knew you were going to die? Well, I'd rather think about, what would I do knowing that Jesus is coming back? Who would I want to call? Is there anybody that I've been, you know, sowing seed with that I would want to let them know for sure? I just want you to know, if I'm not around the day after tomorrow, you'll know where I went. Leave a new voice message on your phone. Hi, folks, sorry I'm not here, but I'm in heaven. Jesus came back at 7:52 on Sunday morning. You can go ahead and leave a message, but I'm not returning your call. What would you do? Do we really think about this? It's high time that sometimes it says that we should think about these. The hour is critical. It says, wake up. All these different translations try to put an emphasis on the fact to make us and kind of shake us and say, hey, folks, think of the times we're living in. These are awesome times. Oh, these are perilous times. Yeah, but they're also powerful times. They're precious times. Therefore, it says, verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day. It says the day isn't here yet. But catch what he's saying. The night is far spent, the day is coming. But he says, now I want you to walk as if it is the day. I want you to walk as if it is already the day. He says, let us walk properly, the New King James says. Another one says, live the right way. Another one, behave decently. The Amplified just says, let us live and conduct ourselves honorably and becomingly. So, there's this battle between light and darkness. Always is throughout Scripture. There's always light and darkness competing for our lives. It's always a fight, a battle. But it's saying it's high time for us to live, as it says, a decent life so that all can see it. I believe that's the reason that we've got to realize and understand the hour that we're in is critical. Let me just run through some scriptures for you. Prophetically in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, God had people starting to prophesy that Jesus would come, the Messiah would come, and he would be what? The light of the world. Listen to what it says. Isaiah 9, 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. They've lived in what? The shadow. There's part light. The light's just starting to come in enough. There's light exposing it just enough where you can see some things. You're not in total darkness. You're standing in the shadows. Light has started to come. Light has started to shine. He goes on in Isaiah 49, 6 and says this, I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles. Now, there's different ways of interpreting this. Some believe that he's talking about it prophetically about Messiah. Others believe he's talking about the nation of Israel and those who would bring the message of truth and salvation through the gospel, let's say it, they all apply. That you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. That's why I believe it's referring to Messiah. And he says, this light is going to come not just to the Jews, but also to what? The whole earth. The ends of the earth. To every human being. Salvation wasn't just to the Jews. And yet, Isaiah is declaring that, and much of Judaism didn't understand it. Just jump up to Matthew. This is a parallel passage to Isaiah, Matthew 4:16. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the rain and the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. He's saying, when you were standing in that shadow of death, he is prophesying and declaring in the New Testament, light, Jesus, now in Matthew, he's saying, he has come, he's here, he's now, he's present tense. Luke goes on and says this, and when Simeon prophesies when Jesus is brought in, Luke chapter 2, so he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Now he's prophesying. He's holding up Jesus, this baby. And he's saying, before Jesus can do anything as an infant, he's saying, this child is light to the world. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. A light to bring salvation and glory to the world. And he's saying this about a baby. He's saying this about a little child. And he finally recognizes something. According to your word, he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. Man, we need to be praying for other people around us. Because what if tomorrow morning Jesus came back? What if I could tell you it's going to be in a month from now? That would give us a little more time to be praying and calling people up and going and having coffee with that person we keep thinking about. You know, if God's bringing somebody across your path or someone being brought up to your heart and just thinking about them, let's act on that. Let's respond to that. Let's not just blow it off. Don't just think, oh, I'm too busy. It's a 3-minute phone call. Don't text them. Sometimes I text somebody and they don't get it. Or they get it and it gets lost in all the other 5,000 ones they get. Wouldn't you rather have a personal phone call? I would when it comes to these kind of serious, eternal things. Who has God laid on your heart? John chapter 1 puts it very simple. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We're talking about darkness and light. We're talking about this message that we have that brings light. It's high time to awake because the day is coming. The light's coming over the horizon, folks. Night is almost spent. And he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. You know, the world can't get what we've got until we show it to them. You and I didn't get it. I didn't get it for years. People would try to get me to see it, and I didn't want to see it. I'd go step back right into the shadows. They'd try to shine the light, and I'd say, oh, too bright. You ever done that in the morning? You get up and you turn a light on, you go, oh. Driving down the road and somebody flips their brights at you, oh. Huh? Come on. That's what it was like when I was an unbeliever and someone flipped the light of Jesus Christ on for me. I'd go, oh, turn that thing off. Turn it down. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Well, that was John's responsibility. I think it's the same for us today. To bear witness to that light, that that was the true light which gives light to every man. It goes on in John chapter 8. Jesus spoke and said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. If I'm looking at this scripture in Romans 13, and I'm seeing the time, the responsibility to wake up, to cast off darkness, to put on the armor of light. That's what he says. Put on the armor of what? Everyone say light. Light. Thank God there's light in here. You know, if someone just pulled the plug on this building right now and somebody just threw the circuit breakers or something and we're all standing here in darkness, first of all, I wouldn't be able to read my notes. You wouldn't be able to see me up here. All you'd be able to hear me. Some of you get real nervous. Some of you might start screaming and looking for a door. You know, actually, all the years that we had this building, one time we had the power go out in the whole area. It was kind of fun. It was a morning, though, so we had some sunlight coming in. But if like this, in the dead of night, the power went out, what would we do? Now, fortunately, everybody in here has got your little iPhone, and you flip it on, you got your little flashlight, and you all be, hey! I could bring out my little phone, I could preach, you know. Just like that little light on your little smartphone, are we smart enough to use that light of Jesus for someone? Because they're living in darkness. They're walking around in darkness. People you work with are in darkness. Family members that you have, they're in darkness. Put on the armor of light. Cast off the works of darkness. See, the reason Paul's saying this to the Roman church is the Roman church was looking so much like the world that he says, no, you guys got to look different. You guys got to shine different. You guys have to appear different. There's nothing wrong with you just casting off those things that everyone else in the world is doing and saying, no, I am going to walk in such a way that I'm going to show forth the glory of God. Now, that doesn't mean you've got to walk perfect and just walk around in such a... It's just be a Christian. Be Christ-like. Walk in the ways in which he says to walk. Let us walk properly, walk honestly, walk decently, conduct ourselves honorably and becomingly, it says. Clothe ourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourselves think about the ways to indulge those evil desires, as one translation puts it. Let's just walk in the things that God has for us. John 9:5 says, as long as I am in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, the reason I use that, there are so many I could use, but I use that one because the first part of that we could read past and not catch. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, what do you think happens once he leaves the world? Now who's the light of the world? You and I are. John 12, Jesus said unto them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. There's so many more scriptures, but let's jump to the point where these disciples are now called to live in the light, to walk in the light, and not be part of this darkness. Philippians chapter 2. Do all things without complaining and disputing. That's a good exhortation. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You feel like that today? You're walking in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation? He says, among whom you, turn to someone and say, you. He's talking to you right now. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. What? Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. It's interesting. Paul's writing to the Philippian church, and he's saying, you know, when the day of Christ comes, now again, he probably had no idea that it was going to be a couple thousand years, and we're still here reading that and talking about it as if we're waiting for that day to come. And he's saying, I want to rejoice in the day of Jesus Christ when he comes and say that I did not run in vain. I did not labor in vain. That I imparted to you, in a sense, you know, I had someone working at our house the other day. They were doing some remodeling and needed a flashlight, and I grabbed my little flashlight. I had this little fancy flashlight thing. It's a great little spotlight, but if you pull the thing up, it turns into a lantern. Slick. Don't know where I got it. I had it for years. Guess what? It broke. Things I put new batteries in, and I tried to... broke. So I had to get a new flashlight. When a flashlight dies, we just think, well, I'll just pop a new battery in it. Or maybe it's the bulb. I'll pop a new bulb in it. In a sense, every time we come to the Word of God, your battery gets recharged. Every time you come to church, you're making sure your battery's ready to go so that when you need that flashlight, so to speak, it's ready to go. I don't know about you, but there's times I'm thankful I got that little flashlight on my phone. You're digging around underneath something and I don't have a flashlight handy. That little thing's slick. You know, people are, in a sense, needing you and I to shine our light. That's all he's saying here. 1 Thessalonians goes on and says, brethren, you are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. Again, there's an exhortation. We are the sons of light, the sons of the day. We should walk as if it is already the full day that Jesus has come back. 2 Corinthians 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age or God of this world has blinded, who do not believe, lest, unless the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Over and over, these scriptures tell us the same thing. There's a world in darkness. We are in this world, but we're not of it. And you and I have the light of the gospel. I wish I had that little flashlight, because if I had it here, it could be on, but you wouldn't see no light until I took that thing and pulled up the little handle, and the lantern part would reveal the glass upon it, and the light would shine out in the midst of it. And in a sense, you and I are like that in the midst of this world. You and I are like those flashlights walking around. All we need to do is expose that light of the glorious gospel of the face of Jesus Christ, because we are his body, to a lost and dying world. So, Pastor, you're sounding like an evangelist. Well, fine. I'm doing the work of an evangelist then. Because I'm trying to stir you up to realize I believe we are in the last of the last days. I totally believe that. I don't know if it's another year or 10 years or 100 years. But we're closer. That's what this verse is saying. We are closer now than we've ever been. Can someone say amen to that, please? I believe we are closer. And that motivates me. That invigorates me. That makes me start thinking. That makes me consider things. I'm closer now than we're ever going to be. Think about it. Could it be tomorrow? I just hope that in the next day or two, a time will come to you. What if it is tonight? What if it is tomorrow? What if it is next week? What would you do different? Is there anyone that you've thought about that you'd call? Is there anyone that you've thought about that you know I'm going to go have coffee with them? I'm going to make it a priority. Oh, I got plenty of time. Do we? We all like to think that. And the way time's been flying by, I don't know about you, but we've talked about it before. Time is just, I think, increasingly going faster. We are just being drawn in like a magnet into something. Ephesians 5 says this, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." So Ephesians is basically saying the same thing that Romans is saying. He says, "But rather expose them." Well, how do you expose something? Shine the light. "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret or in the dark. But all things are exposed and are manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light." Whatever makes manifest, in other words, whatever makes something revealed, whatever brings something out in the open, whatever gives us opportunity to see it clearly, light is shining on it. And I trust that tonight there's something that you are going to go home with that you see clearer tonight than you did before you got here. And if it's just a matter of how close we are to the last day, being aware of the fact that you are the light in the world, aware of the fact that it is high time to put off certain types of things and prioritize and say, these things are what's important. Matthew 5:14. "You are the light of the world." Jesus is saying this to his disciples. It's the same as if he stood here today and said this to you. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father